Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to begin.
And now for something completely different.
Come on, feel the noise.
I want to rock.
Let's get the rock out of here.
Damn straight.
Are you ready to rock?
You know who I am.
Who are you?
Your DJ for this evening.
One night in one American city. Multiply that by hundreds of cities and what have you got? A country where culture means pornography and slasher films. Where ethics means payoffs, graft, insider trading. Where integrity means lying, whoring, and intoxication. This country is in deep trouble, people. This country is rotten to the core and somebody better do something about it. Open your mouth and tell them what we're going to do about the mess this country's in. Talk radio. It's the last neighborhood in town. People just don't talk to each other anymore.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
Hello, 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 and welcome to 2012, the second season of the Brad Westmar Show. I am Brad with Magic Matthew Wilder. Ain't nothing going to break your stride. Ain't nobody going to slow you down. How are you tonight, pal?
It's good to be back. I'm great. I'm psyched about our season premiere.
I am very psyched about the season premiere as well. You know, last year when we started the show was exactly 1 year ago today. Today is actually our 1 year anniversary of the Brad Westmar Show.
Wow.
Pretty cool. I think we deserve some applause for that. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I will say this. Some things have changed. First of all, we started off the Brad Westmar Show with me being Brad 2.0. That didn't go so well, so I'm back to Brad 1.35. So I'm still kind of a jerk. And also, I've got a new co-host, which is going well. We'll talk to the other co-host, the co-host who started the show here very shortly. Matt, how were the holidays for you?
They were awesome. Busy. I'm just, you know, honestly, I'm glad they're over. I'm not a huge fan of just everything that goes into Christmas and everything else. I enjoy New Year's Eve because it's just my wife and I watching movies, and that's kind of the big, you can breathe and relax after all the chaos.
It's nice that you can get that because I'm still working towards that with my wife, but don't get me started on that. But it was really nice to see you too. I was in town and it was good to see you and the family. And we'll talk more about that here in just a few minutes. And I'm the same way with you as you are about the holidays these days. The older I get, the less I like them. I don't know why that is exactly, but it is the way it is. And Batman, how were your holidays, my friend?
They were good.
Good to have you. You didn't die. So that's good.
I'm still here.
You're here. That's great. And, very happy to have you here, too. We'll talk a little bit more to you. But first of all, I wanted to do tonight's show, our exactly 1 year anniversary. I wanted to give you kind of a vision as to where I'm at right now with this show. I thought this song, I just happened to come across this accidentally. This is a great intro song to the second season of the Brad Westmar Show, and it sums up the way I feel. So, Matt, I present to you the Hello Song. I had to pull up my record player for this one. Dude, matter of fact, you can hear the scratch.
Listen to it.
Yeah. There you go. Yep.
Hello, hello, I'm here to say hello. I was gone but not for long, so now I'm back to sing this song. Hello, hello, I'm going to say goodbye. You're out, I'm even, now I'm leaving. Don't just stop to wonder why. Hello, hello, let's get on with the show. I've got to blow, look out below, cause now it's time for me to go. Hello, hello, we're getting near the end. You must be knowing now I'm going. No more precious time to spend. Hello, hello, it's over with and done. I just dropped in to leave again. I hope you had a lot of fun. Hello, hello, I'm on my merry way.
Yeah.
But as we part, you have some heart. We might just say goodbye one day.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. It's like, you know, I'm here, I'm gone, you know. I don't really know if I want to be here. I'm not really sure. We may be gone someday. I don't really know. That's kind of how I feel about this show. So, welcome.
In a constant state of flux.
Pretty much, pretty much. And I really wanted to play the tambourine with that, too. We got the tambourine in here. Nice, Todd.
You like that, do you?
Nice, yeah. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Yeah, anyway.
Tim McClaws was our Santa Claus.
There's a big shock big shock. You know, before we give Jared a call, our good friend, Mr. Afkar, Ginger, before we call him, I wanted to mention real quick, we did spend some time together, Matt, this past week, and it was a nice time to hang out with your family. Your daughters got to meet my daughter. But you and I had a very special moment together, and I don't want to give too much of it away because we're not going to discuss it in detail, but I believe next week on the show we will have clips. You and I popped in a very special Todd Sheets production into your DVD player.
We did. Yes. This is you're treading on thin ice though. Starting this conversation, because it's going to be a hard one to stop.
Well, let me just say, just as a tease, we were intrigued, and we didn't even actually watch any of your movies. We actually watched some of the behind the scenes commentary, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. We found some great clips that we think will be perfect for the show here in season two, and looking forward to spending some time speaking to Mr. Master of Splatter, Gore, the Whore of Gore, whatever your nicknames are, whatever you decide to nickname yourself.
I did not nickname myself any of those. Thank you.
So we'll hopefully get to that next week. But Matt and I, let's just say that the rest of our families knew we were having a good time downstairs.
I haven't laughed that hard in a long time.
It was a good
That time. Was awesome.
It really, really was. And we only spent about, 45 minutes or so, probably?
Maybe. Yeah, we didn't even have a chance to watch the entire behind the scenes part one. We watched probably, 2/3 of it or something like that.
Just because
we were so crunched for time. But
I mean, it was
awesome.
It was very, very cool. We're going to sit down someday and watch everything from start to finish on all three DVDs or two DVDs. And also, Matt, take note of where your mother and your wife rank with me and you versus my wife ranking with either one of us, who brought us down and served us carrot cake and coffee down in your dungeon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was your wife and your
mom
mother.
And my wife. Yeah.
Not my wife. So
no, not your wife.
I don't know.
No. She was hiding from you.
I don't know why. It was nice though. The carrot cake, as awesome as I remember, you and I both save a big glob of frosting for the end. And
We did. We ate it two very distinct ways. I mean, you savored it and I ate it like it was trying to escape.
Yes. Yes, you did. And you also offered to let me take some of it home. And as I told your mother, if distance makes the heart grow fonder, I'm going to wait till the next time I come back to town and just have another piece then. So
I don't know how you resisted taking one piece with you, though.
Like I said, carrot cake is great. I mean, it's great. But I mean, if you have too much of it, you won't want it's like music. Look, Matt and I had a great conversation. We don't have time to go into this right now. We had a great conversation about burning yourself out on your favorite records. And it's the same thing with food for me. If I have too much of it at one time, I burn out too fast. So we'll compare notes on that some other time.
Okay.
So, but very cool to see you. Now we're going to talk to our other co-host. We're going to give Jared Afkar a call. He and I spent some time together too over the New Year's, late New Year's Eve weekend. So we're going to get him on the horn here.
Brad, Happy New Year.
Hey, same to you, pal. You mother spot. I forgot to mention that. You know.
Hello?
Why did you answer the phone? We don't want to talk to you. Get your husband on the phone. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot.
That's okay. Yeah, boy.
Happy New Year.
It's almost live. Fake radio, folks.
You know? She knows how I feel about her. That's how her relationship
didn't
want
to talk
to you. Yeah. No. Not really. Yeah.
Where is he?
He had no idea we were calling, apparently.
He must be in TGNY.
Good God almighty.
I'm right. Are you guys just going to keep babbling on?
Oh, you're there. Okay.
Happy New Year.
He's very, very sensitive.
Look, let me tell you something about... We're going to get Jared's view on this, too. But first of all, Happy New Year. How many times do you have to say Happy New Year? I had a guy, and Jared, I may have said this to you on the show last season, okay? I had a guy at work that was still telling people Happy New Year in February. I mean, when does it end?
Now you know why I work at home.
Yeah, good point. By the way, I have a request. Are you standing for this call, or are you sitting down?
I'm standing right now because I had to go pick up the phone.
Okay, are you at your workstation? I want you to stand at your workstation. No, I'm kidding.
No.
I'm kidding. Oh, man. Stop the Happy New Year's right now, okay? Batman, stop it.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm sorry we didn't call you sooner, Jared, but as you noticed via text, we had a technical glitch. You can imagine whose fault that was.
Brad's.
I just find that entire scenario beyond the realm of all plausibility.
I know you do. I know you do. So, hey, how are you, my friend?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. We're glad to have you along for a few minutes today. I wanted to give you a quick call. First of all, welcome you to our one-year anniversary. As you might recall, we started the show, you and I, here 1 year ago tonight.
I do recall.
Yes, and we did the Brad 2.0 thing. That didn't last very long. So, you know, but that's...
Well, okay. No, because I'm sure you've already attained a state of self-realized perfection, so why even bother, right?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I want to tell, let people kind of hear this story. You and I spent some time together a week ago tonight, as a matter of fact. We decided to go to my favorite little pub, Granite City, and you and I did some libations. We had some cocktails. No, we had some beers.
Yeah, some rather potent ones.
Yeah, 8.5% alcohol, if I recall correctly. And you and I basically were feeling happy by the time we left. But, of course, we were not legally drunk. So,
no, not even close.
Not even close. Not even close. But you got this. I wanted you to have the chance to go ahead. You have the floor. Tell the quick story of the weird thing that... Weird things do tend to happen to you and I when we're in public together. Okay? And... whether we're going to psychic fairs or not, I mean, this was not a psychic fair. This was just Granite City. But you took a phone call when we were sitting there at our table.
Yeah, because I don't typically do that because, you know, I'm not cell phone at the table guy. But
right.
I didn't recognize the number, and it seemed weird. It was a local number, and I thought, well, who knows? Maybe it's a business person or whatever, someone I could give the finger to virtually over the phone.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be, and forgive me if my memory is a bit hazy, because, yeah, you know, there were some alcoholically induced veils thrown over the story here. But,
yes.
So there was someone who accused me right off the bat of being Robert.
Yeah, of being a guy named Robert, right, right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I say accusing because she was incredibly insistent on this.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it took some work to convince her otherwise, and she had it in her head that I was Robert, and that I had promised to leave my wife for her.
Whoa!
Yeah.
So yeah, so you can imagine my reaction. I mean, it was not the kind of call you get every day. And she was so insistent on it that I eventually just said, "Look, you know, I don't know who Robert is. My name is Jared. I live in, you know," I gave her my hometown, tell her where I went to college, what I do for a living, and then I realized I had to stop because I probably gave her too many details.
Yeah.
And she said she was at a hospital, and as badly as I felt for her at that time, it was beyond the scope of my power to rectify whatever situation in which she found herself. So she eventually just kind of, I think she realized I wasn't Robert, and then she hung up.
Right.
At least, or so I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the phone rang again.
Yeah, and sweet holy crap, she called back. And in the meantime, I'm trying to, like, you know, Brad's doing the kind thing, and we're hanging out together, so I want to either get him involved in this or, like, get rid of this person.
True.
So I just hand the phone over to him.
He did, as
and,
the phone's ringing.
Yeah. And I figure, hey, he's got plenty of experience dealing with crazy people. Let him. Maybe a different voice will throw this person off.
It's true. It's true. And that's what happened. And from there, I mean, all you heard was, of course, my end of the conversation. But
I had a feeling I knew what you were dealing with. But yes, I did hear you apply some rather suave moves.
Yeah, I did.
And you too, I'm sure you could have, had you kept playing your cards in that way, could have managed to have replaced your wife with an incredibly stable, hot 20-year-old person.
This is to be believed. Yeah, this is very true. This is very true. The first thing I did was I got on the phone and I told her that, hey, look, I'm not the guy you were talking to earlier. The guy you were talking to earlier was Jared. Everything he said is true. He's not Robert. We don't know who Robert is. Can you tell me a little bit more about Robert? And she said, well, Robert said he was going to leave his wife for me. I'm like, okay. Well, why are you calling Robert? And then I don't remember exactly everything that took place after that. I just remember hitting on her. That's all I really remember. Because I was just kind of, you know, I think my go-to line, Jared, was, how you doing?
I don't know if I would qualify that. I thought you were just messing with her. I didn't know that qualified as hitting on someone. My game is not.
That's not a good sign.
No, exactly. I mean, let me clarify. She took it that way. Okay, because she was like, how you doing? And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. You know, tell me more about you. So,
did you ask for pictures?
Well, that's funny you say that. I should have, but I also didn't want any kind of correspondence and connection to me. you know. Right. I do believe, though, I dropped a bradwestmore.com in there a couple of times.
Why wouldn't you?
I'm pretty sure.
Of course.
I'm pretty sure that I did. But here's the part that was really goofy, and I know it made Jared uncomfortable, and of course, I may have had a few too many to be uncomfortable when I did it, but at some point, Jared, she told me, she goes, I'm at the hospital. She was at a hospital in Lee Summit, if I recall correctly. And
right.
And I'm like, what are you doing at the hospital? She says, I was raped. And I'm like, okay. And I remember repeating it out loud. I remember Jared kind of going, that's loud. You know, it's like, oh, you're right. I didn't really realize what I was doing, you know, but it's like, I was more like, you've been raped? What? And you're calling some other guy who's married, who said he was going to, what? I didn't understand it all. You know, it was just really, really strange. And I don't know, long story longer, after I played with her for a while, I mean, she didn't act like a girl who was in, you know, in desperate need for anything other than, you know, a good time. Am I right, Jared? I mean, from what you were hearing anyway? I mean,
well, yes. Fair Rhiannon, and that was her name.
Yes, yes. And she does know she was named after, well, she said Fleetwood Mac. So, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. But she didn't seem like somebody who had just been raped. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she was acting.
She seemed like she was.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean.
Oh, I know. My wife has subjected me to enough Law and Order SVU that, you know, I would say that none of those times presented.
Exactly.
Them.
So that's why I was so perplexed. And I know everybody right now is listening going, oh, we're talking about rape now. No, we're not talking about rape. We're talking about Rhiannon and her craziness. That's what we're talking about. So we got to cut this off. But here's how the story ended. Here's how the date ended. Okay. The date ended with Jared and I both going home and getting it from our own wives. No, the date ended, and when I say getting it, I mean getting it, you know. No, actually, the next night was Jared's anniversary. But anyway, Jared and I ended our evening. I finally let her go, and we left, and I'm at home, or I'm on my way home or something, and Jared's texting me with more information because... Did she call again?
Back.
Yeah, she called again.
She called back.
And what was she asking for?
She didn't ask. She just said, she just was like, hey, I think she was convinced I wasn't Robert. But then she proceeded to ask if I could provide her with your number.
Oh, no.
See, that's why, yeah.
And then she also asked if I happen to know of any single 40-year-old guys who could take care of her.
Did she really?
Yeah, she did ask that.
See, and, rape shape, yeah. Rape my ass. She wasn't raped. She's full of crap. No, really?
I think someone has some severe daddy issues.
I think you're right about that. I think you're right. Ty, I mean, what's your reaction been after you've raped a woman?
Well, you know, I've never raped anyone, but my reaction to this whole thing is typical Missouri, man, yeah. Where we live. That you it's get that weird. A lot. You get that at the freaking Ben Franklin, you know? It's terrible.
It's Ben Franklin. What? Man. So, Jared, well, so that was the extent. I mean, that was actually, I mean, for as great of a conversation as we had about a bunch of things, that was still the highlight of everything. I mean, if that wouldn't have happened.
Was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I even went, I validated. I mean, it wasn't, the Chiefs didn't play the Steelers that weekend, so the odds of a rape were greatly diminished.
Very well. That's true. Very good. Yes, Todd.
I just want to know if the ginger's too nice or too good to be in the studio with us or something.
No,
isn't he local?
No, yeah. He is local, but you know this is my call. Actually,
oh,
I mean, with respect to Jared,
Jared.
You know, Jared has allowed me to make the calls, and next week Jared will actually be out of town. Correct?
Yes, I will be in Fair Cleveland.
Yes, so we're going to work on his schedule here in the coming days so that we can kind of have it laid out a little bit more. And but I wanted to give him a chance to tell about that quick story with us here. And I figured that, again, also wanted to have him. We had to have him on for at least a few minutes for our one-year anniversary show. 1 year, yeah!
That's stellar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm worried, Brad, though, that you're going to get a ton of people requesting Rhiannon's phone number. So, be prepared for that, because you may have opened a can of worms.
Yeah, but there's only three people listening, and they're all married, so I wouldn't worry about
it. We'll sell it on eBay, and that way we can get a little budget.
We could do that. See, quite honestly, I mean, the one thing that Jared and I kept thinking to ourselves during that was, this needs to happen on the air. I mean, this is funny for us, but it's so much better. And that's pretty much what I did, was I went into Brad Westmar radio mode with her on the phone. The problem was that there was no audience. You know?
Right.
Nothing new.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? So
you made her happy.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know where to go.
You better tell your address. You could have sent her a copy of Zombie Bloodbath to cheer her up. <Holy drama>.
just the commentary, oh, man. Just the commentary.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I hope that you let your wife know, Brad, that she has to step up her game because you now have options.
She's always known that I have options. So.
Right.
I just don't really know what kind of options they really are. So, yeah. So, Jerry, we're going to let you go.
All right, man.
Thanks again for joining us, and thanks for being a part of the first year of the show, and we'll look forward to having you on here very soon again.
All right, guys. You all take care. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
Happy New Year.
Nice.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was me. Down. That was Ginger. Yeah. All right. So that was our story. That was fun and interesting. And we've got a lot more to do, Matt. We've got so much to do. I got to tell you, we got to talk about Bass Ackwards Fantasy Football. We got that coming up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I got to tell you about my latest tweet that I had where a famous person responded to a tweet that I made here recently.
I'm anxious to hear this story.
I figured you were because I kind of alluded to it here this past week when we were together.
Yep.
Also, we're going to do a new segment called Sports in Six. We're going to limit our sports talk to 6 minutes, and it's going to be kind of a point-counterpoint thing. I'm looking forward to doing that, too. And I got plenty more to do. So let's go ahead, Batman. Let's take a break, and we will be right back.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
Ralph Nader is everywhere again. How can I cast a protest vote from within this suffocating three-party system?
With Dan Jatico, the independent candidate who's independent of the taint of independent candidacy. Dan Jatico is a true friend to the regular working man. Ralph Nader, on the other hand, owns two suits. That's right, two. Nader also takes $100 donations. Jatico accepts only supplies and services, such as cornmeal or bootsmithing. Ralph Nader is bought and paid for by the wealthy and corrupt third-party machine. But Dan Jatico is not for sale. Don't vote for Ralph Nader because you're afraid to split the third-party vote. That's how the third party wants you to think. Vote for Dan Jatico. He's the right choice. For the people on the fringe.
My name is Dan Jatico, and I endorse this ad.
If you missed the Rambling Morons podcast this week, you missed this.
I tell every guy I know, do not get married.
I don't listen to your show a ton. I listen to
Dick.
Do you want Millsap's number?
Here's my kid using the potty for the first time.
Awesome.
Outstanding. Probably more pictures of me in high heels than there are of me drinking.
It's the Rambling Morons podcast, Sundays at ramblingmorons.com.
Do you guys want hookers? Got it.
Not a lot. You don't want too much. Just a little bit.
We now return to the Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome back to the Brad Westmar Show. I am Brad, along with Magic Matthew Wilder and Todd Sheets, also known as the Batman there in the Batcave, handling the controls to the best of his ability.
Happy New Year.
Stop it. Stop it. Let's get things started here. Okay. So, you know, normally I roll this music when we talk about Bass Ackwards Fantasy Football.
Yeah.
But, you know, I kind of feel like maybe what I should do instead is play some very special champion music. Matt, how did things turn out this year?
All hail Brad Westmar, King. Yeah, you won. You won.
Thank
you. What else do you want me to say?
Well, how good am I? How smart am I? Did I tell you?
You won, and it wasn't even close. I was second, but it was like almost a 50-point difference. In our league, that is a lot of points.
Amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. It really,
yeah,
really
is. It was
is.
Impressive.
I got to tell you that the pressure right now to duplicate that next season is going to be really, really difficult. And I'll tell you a couple reasons why. First of all, my gut tells me that we may have 5 listeners by this time when the Ooh. Season starts again in September. And if that's the case, we may be able to get a few more people involved, which means that the market will become more diluted on the draft. And it could be more difficult for me to repeat, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. There's plenty of crap to go around. If you have a knack for picking lousy players, too, you know, that's just not going to go away.
You're probably right.
You know what's sad is that my team in this league would have beaten my real team. I'm almost positive.
Really?
Yeah. The guys I had did so well. Cam Newton, Steve Smith, Marshawn Lynch. They were all awesome.
See, you've got it in your brain that you're so damn good at picking players, you have a hard time seeing the crap.
I think that's what I'm getting at.
I think so. I think so. But, you know, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. And I'm looking forward to the Brandon t-shirt and...
Thank you. That's awesome music.
Thank you. All hail the king. Thank you. Thank you. Brandon, I like my t-shirt in a double extra large, please, especially if it's shrinkable. And look forward to seeing the design here within the next 2 or 3 years. So, since he won't actually hear this show for another 2 or 3 months, so we'll see.
That's true. We'll see. So he won't get the guilt trip until about March.
Pretty much. Probably. Yeah. And plus, by then, Batman will still be saying Happy New Year, you know?
I will. Just for you.
Stop it. So here's the thing. You know, I've mentioned before on Twitter, which Matt, I'm so excited that you're a part of Twitter and you will continue to grow as a tweeter, I know.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm having fun with it.
Good. I'm enjoying it too with you. I like to kind of every once in a while tweet about certain people, not necessarily to see if they'll respond, but generally I do it because I don't think they're going to respond or see it, you know. A lot of famous people don't respond to tweets, depending upon how famous they may or may not be. But I've had some fairly famous people respond before. I've mentioned Eddie Trunk from That Metal Show and also SiriusXM Satellite Radio. I've mentioned the fact that Jason Lockenfora from the NFL Network also has responded to a couple of tweets with me. Not even about football, actually about punk rock music. In fact, both of those were about music. And I think I told you that what's the name of your center there on the Dolphins?
Mike Pouncey
responded to a tweet one time as well. But those particular ones, I was using their Twitter handle. Okay, so if you use, as you know, Matt and Batman, if you use somebody's Twitter handle, they're going to be able to see that very easily under their mentions column on their Twitter page. Okay, but right. If you don't use somebody's name, their Twitter handle is a lot less of a chance that they're going to see it. Okay, well, I was sitting back one day here a couple of weeks ago. I believe it was the Chiefs-Raiders game. And I was watching the Chiefs-Raiders, and I love the tweet during NFL football. I mean, I think I tweeted today that I wish there was a job where I could just sit at home all day long, watch football, tweet about it, you know, and get paid, you know, because I think I'm pretty good at it. You know,
that's a dream job.
It's a dream. It would be awesome. It would be very, very cool. You know, I mean, I can't think of a spot where I'd actually be able to get paid for doing it, but it'd be pretty cool if I could.
That's exactly what Peter King does for a living.
What he does is worse.
Yeah.
Because at least my tweets are good, you know.
Oh, so. He don't even make, I follow him just for show fodder, but they don't make any sense. I'm just about ready to just be done with him.
Hey, everybody. This is Peter King. Read my tweets. I got big teats. Yeah. How you doing? Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so I'm watching the Chiefs-Raiders game. And, you know, one of the very first things I notice are the commentators at the game. You know, when they show them in the booth before the game, and they're usually before the game, they're usually holding a microphone. And then, of course, when they come back at halftime, they're usually wearing the headsets. Okay. And they show them again up in the booth before the second half starts. Well, during the intro of the game, it's Kevin Harlan and Solomon Wilcots. And I make mention that Kevin Harlan's hair looks really bad. And I made some kind of a tweet about it. It's like, his hair looks weird. It's just kind of funny. It looks like some kind of an old lady's fro or something, you know? And then I noticed that Solomon Wilcots, he's got the Jerry curl working. His hair is like almost looks like Jermaine, you know, Jackson or something like that, you know, or Michael Jackson or Jermaine Dye or something like that. But he's got the Jerry curl going, you know? So I make mention of that. And then as halftime comes up, I tweet again, and I quote myself, "Can't wait to see Kevin Harlan's bad hair and Solly Wilcott's Jerry curl at the start of the second half." Okay? And then needless to say, the second half starts, and I forgot they were wearing the headsets, and you couldn't really see the hair. So I didn't really tweet about it, or I made a mention about the headsets or something like that. Well, a couple of hours later, after the game, about an hour or so after the game is over with, I happen to check my mentions, and I've got a tweet from @KevinHarlan.
For real?
Kid you not. Yeah, and the first thing I did was check it. Well, first I read the tweet, and the tweet said, "At least I have hair." Because he can see my picture, of course. He sees my picture. The picture I'm using is me and Batman.
Nice.
In the Batman getup, you know? Yep. And so he tweets, "At least I have hair." And I'm like, okay, he figured out that I must not be Batman. You know, you figure that I must be the bald guy, you know.
Yeah.
Ha ha. Very funny. So, but I'm immediately kind of running over this in my head, thinking, first of all, you weren't supposed to see that. And I'm thinking, you know, second of all, I really don't care, you know. But then I'm like, why did you see this? I did not use your Twitter handle, because the very first thing I had to do was kind of verify that that was really Kevin Harlan, okay? So if you look on there, it does say at Kevin Harlan, and the biggest telltale sign of whether or not it's Kevin Harlan is he following about 100 people, and does he have about 3,000 followers? And that's pretty much what he had. And I'm like, oh my God. And I looked at his tweets, and I'm like, this guy really is like Kevin Harlan. I'm like, wow, okay. So my next question is, why is he seeing this tweet? I did not tweet to his Twitter name, okay? So I thought, I wonder which tweet, because I tweeted two or three times about his hair. I'm like, I'm wondering what tweet he saw. So I went to the search engine, and I just searched on Twitter, Kevin space Harlan. And about the first six, seven, eight of them were tweets that mentioned Kevin during the game. And about the ninth or tenth one down, guess what tweet was there? My tweet about his hair that said, can't wait to see Kevin Harlan's bad hair. And so I realized that this guy is apparently so in love with himself or so concerned about what people might be saying about him on Twitter, he literally searched his name on Twitter to see what people said about him.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That doesn't, does that surprise you, though, coming from one of those guys?
No, it really, honestly, it really, really does not. And that's one of the reasons why I love Greg Hall so much, because Greg Hall, you know, we've talked about him before in the show. Uh-huh. He makes fun of these people. I don't want to say he makes fun of them, but he is critical of them because he knows it gets their goat. And it's the same thing. That's why I do it with these guys. I'm like, okay, who's going to respond? Who's going to notice it? And Kevin Harlan, of all people, which I wouldn't think, he's a Kansas City guy originally, you know, he's from here.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't have thought that he would be so into himself that he would literally search his name on Twitter and then respond to a tweet. It was just weird.
That doesn't surprise me. In my mind, all of those guys are basically Ron Burgundy from Anchorman.
Yeah.
Practicing their lines in front of a mirror, combing their hair all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I
that's awesome.
Especially the play-by-play guys. You know, especially the play-by-play guys. I mean, because Kevin Harlan is a radio guy. I mean, he's a broadcaster. You know, he's not a jock. He's not Solomon Wilcots. He's not, you know, Brian Billick. You know, so yeah, the play-by-play guys, I guess you're right. I was a little surprised by it. I did not respond, I don't think, at all.
How could you not?
Because I honestly am the kind of guy, and I don't want to get into this too long, but I'm the kind of guy who generally, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but in situations like that, you know, I took the high road. I'm like, you know what? There's no place else I can go with that. I mean, I don't think I do not think I responded. I may have responded with a true or something. I don't think I did. But if I did, it was very agreeable, you know, or something like that. Because, you know, I mean, what was I going to do? I could have been apologetic. No, I'm not going to be apologetic.
Yeah.
You know? I could have said, well, you had, you know, trying to explain to him and other people what I just explained to you on the show about how here Kevin Harlan is literally searching his name because he's so self-absorbed. You know, I couldn't explain that in 140 characters on Twitter, you know? Yeah. So I just thought high road was probably the best thing to do. So I didn't go any further, but I was a little surprised by it, but, whatever. I thought you'd like that one. So
that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's awesome that, you know, without his, that he went and searched it himself too. That is so sweet.
I got a pretty good Kevin Harlan imitation too. Touchdown, Kansas City! Hey, he kind of sounds like he's puking when he's on the air. Kevin Harlan.
See, you pay so much attention to the announcers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I know that's like the first thing you notice when you watch a game.
Well, we're in your living room. And what's the very first thing I said to you when that football game was coming? And I said, oh, look, the sexier Heward's up in the booth for this game.
Yeah, right. And I had no idea that
Brock Heward was even
Brock
doing
Heward, right?
Yeah, Brock.
That was even doing those games.
Yeah.
See, I just tune them out, honestly.
I know. I can't help it. And that's the thing. Twitter helps me be even more in tune to it because it gives me something to tweet about. You know, like when when Daryl Johnston referred to during the Packers Chiefs game, he referred to Brian Bulaga as Brian Beluga.
Oh yeah.
Yep. You know, it's like, really? I mean, I have to make fun of it. But of course, you know, it's just the way I am. And one more thing, you know, side note about that day during Twitter. I was on fire apparently on Twitter that day with the Kevin Harlan stuff. It wasn't just because of the Kevin Harlan stuff, but I got a direct message from one of my followers, as well as a public message directed at me. He said, quote, "Your tweets today have been great. Hope you're well." And then he also said something publicly about it too, that my tweets were just really cool today. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like doing it. So, I mean, nice. I'm a commentator of commentators or something like that.
There could be something there.
Might be.
Yeah.
So we got a new segment we're going to do, and I'm excited about this, and we're going to biff this all up. I know we are, but we're going to do the best we can. Okay.
On paper, it is an awesome idea.
I think so. And I think it'll get better and better. We're going to do sports. You know, let me start my, this is the intro before the intro. Okay. The gay man ran across the field naked during the Super Bowl. John Placenta. Is that his name? John Placenta?
Whatever.
John Placencia?
Sure. Yeah, there you go. That's closer.
Something like that. What we're going to do is we're going to do something, you know, I guess you could say we're kind of ripping off, help me, pardon the interruption, PTI,
yeah,
PTI. A little bit. We're going to do sports in six. We're going to have a timer in the background. We got some subjects to talk about. And like I said, bear with us as we biff this all up. Our first subject will be the NFL playoff and our predictions. NFL playoffs here are starting this coming weekend, as a matter of fact. I will talk. Matt will talk. Then we'll also talk a little bit about some of the firings and hirings that are going on here around the NFL. And we'll also discuss a little bit about, what do we got here? Watered down bowl games. Okay, mm-hmm. And the bowl schedule and the bowl season, as well as me talking a little bit about my allegiances to football teams and where I stand these days. So, you know, without further ado, let's go ahead and get things started. Here's our special, and you'll hear little alarm clocks and things go off when your time is up. I think you'll find that pretty clear here too, Matt. So,
alrighty,
here we go. Here, I believe it's actually a cuckoo clock that goes off, because you'll hear the cuckoo clock at the very, very beginning right here. Okay, so here's what we're doing. First of all, NFL playoff picture. Here's what I got. You got the Bengals, and you've got the Houston Texans. Yeah, both teams not going to the Super Bowl. You got two rookie quarterbacks, TJ Yates, Andy Dalton. I love Andy Dalton. I really, really do. I liked him at TCU. I liked him when he beat Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. This is why I'm picking the Texans, because you know how I am. I know what the bad ones are. I know what the good ones are. And I'm picking the Texans there. The Steelers, ain't no way the Broncos are going to beat the Steelers. Let me see here. The Steelers are going to go on to beat the Patriots. I know people would find that surprising, but in my mind, the Patriots are not all that, plus a bag of chips. I feel pretty strongly the Patriots are overrated. Their defense sucks. Pittsburgh probably has a better defense, and they do have the greatest rapist of all time. Also, Baltimore-Houston. I believe Baltimore will win that one as well. It'll be Baltimore and Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game. And surprisingly, I think Pittsburgh's time is done. I'm going to say Baltimore finally gets their chance in the Super Bowl. Oh, is that it? Am I done already? Okay.
I only got half of it done. Prediction.
Your turn. Go ahead. That's okay.
I'm going to go through them all. Starting in the NFC.
Do it.
My favorite game of the weekend, Saints-Lions. It's going to be a shootout. It's going to be awesome. I love no defense games. I'm taking the Saints. The next game, the next NFC game this weekend on Sunday, Giants over Falcons. Falcons are just terrible away from that dome. Then on to the second round, we'll have Saints versus 49ers. I'm taking Saints. No way the 49ers can keep up with them. Their offense just stinks. Defense is good enough to keep them in the mid-20s maybe, but they won't be able to outscore the Saints. Then Packers over the Giants. Rodgers has torched the Giants the last two times they've played them. And then Packers-Saints NFC Championship game. Wish this was the Super Bowl, but I'm taking the Packers again. Into the AFC, I'm taking Texans over Bengals. Bengals can't beat anybody that's any good. Steelers over Broncos.
Your
it's
time's up.
Pretty. It's your, over. It's time's up.
How did that happen?
Let me finish. Steelers over Broncos. Patriots over Steelers. Ravens over Texans. Ravens over Patriots. Packers over Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Okay, very well. Well, here's some firings real quick. I got news for you. Bill Polian, Chris Polian, they were fired for more reasons than what we're hearing about on ESPN, SportsCenter, Chris Mortensen, Adam Schefter. There's some reason behind the reason that Ursa is given right now, okay? And my belief is that there was a disagreement on how to handle the situation with Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning. And I think we're going to find out exactly what that reason was in the long run. Maybe Polian's wanted to, you know, get rid of Peyton Manning, although I doubt that because there's such a, has such a close relationship with Peyton Manning. Maybe he didn't want to draft Andrew Luck. Maybe he wanted to trade the pick. I mean, who knows? But I think there was some kind of a disagreement there, and that's why the Polians are gone. By the way, too, Kansas City, you probably figured it out by now. Romeo Crennel is your new head coach, whether you like it or not. You're not getting Jeff Fisher because, unfortunately, Jeff Fisher's going to Miami, and I'm not yes. excited about that either, but I know you are. Have fun with Carl Peterson, too, by the way. And Raheem Morris fired. Duh. Now, what I want to know is, when is Mike Caldwell going to get fired in Indianapolis? Because that guy is the real reason why this team sucks so bad. Well, part of the reason why, not the entire reason why, but he's gone. And I'm not even sure that all the... do you think everybody's been fired? There may still be more. I don't know. How did Tom Coughlin keep his job? Well, he got it at the playoffs. Okay. How did... who else? Who else kept their job that shouldn't have kept their job? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Norv Turner. North there you go. Turner. Tell us some more, Matt. Your turn. Go!
I'm going to stick to the Dolphins. I don't know what they're doing down there. They did this weird coaching search last year when they had Sperano. They're doing it again this year. I think basically what they have going this year is a reality show. And I'm going to call it Survivor Miami. Because what you have is on one side, you've got Jeff Ireland. And he's interviewing. He's the current GM interviewing all of the JV candidates, basically. Their interim coach, some like special teams coach from the Bears. And on the other side, you've got Carl Peterson, who he gets to interview all like the A-list coaches like Jeff Fisher and maybe Jim Haslett if Fisher doesn't take it. And apparently, if Fisher gets the job, Peterson gets the job as team president as his prize, and he gets to fire Jeff Ireland. I don't know what's going on, but it's weird. It's fun to read about, but... it's a little embarrassing at the same time.
You know, I don't get it either. I don't get it either. But I wish you the best, and that's all I can really say. Bowl games. Man, these bowl games are ridiculous. We've talked about it. Everybody talks about it. Everybody agrees except for the people that are doing the bowl games. I mean, I don't know how much more watered down it can get. First of all, the biggest problem is not playing bowl games on New Year's Day. I am sick of it. It's happening too freaking much. It's killing me. There's no reason on earth why, and I know you agree, Matt, there's no reason on earth why they could not have played the NFL games on Saturday on New Year's Eve instead of on Sunday on New Year's Day, moved all those great bowl games, well, semi-great. There was a couple of really good games on January 2nd. They should have played those games on January 1st. Tradition is out the window, and I'm getting really, really sick and tired of it. It's bad enough that the NFL is watered down with, oh, this late hit and pass interference and, oh, you hit him in the head. Oh, you hit him in the nuts. Oh, you hit him in the leg. I mean, it's just ridiculous. That game is watered down, okay? Then you've got the college football game, who unfortunately is taking cues from the NFL. And in the meantime, we got all these bowl games played on the incorrect days. Oh, my God, we only have a few minutes left. My timing is way, way off on this. I screwed up. We're almost done already. Where did we go? Matt, talk to me.
Bowl games.
Yes.
There's just far too many. We have the Potato Bowl, the Pinstripe Bowl, the Poinsettia Bowl. When you're naming bowl games after food, suits, and plants, you've got too many. If Illinois makes a bowl game with losing six in a row during the season, you have too many bowl games. I propose a new bowl game for next year. It's called the Really Bowl. Really?
That's
How about the two worst teams in college football playing that? You could also maybe call it Drunks at Buffalo Wild Wings will watch anything bowl.
And that's very true. And last night's game was the All-State Splenda Bowl, as far as I was concerned. It's not sugar, it's Splenda, because it's all watered down.
There you go.
So I'm with you on that. I know everybody agrees, except for the people that are doing the bowls. And by the way, I have no idea how 6 minutes went by that fast. We even didn't even get to what I had it all timed out. I don't know what happened.
I don't know.
I don't know what I...
Maybe it's going to be like sports in eight.
I don't know. We're going to have to reevaluate this. I like the format. I think you did a very fine job, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we do have one more subject to mention very quickly before the break, okay? And that is team allegiances. Look, my teams, they suck. I mean, there's just no going forward. First of all, with the Nebraska Cornhuskers, I mean, what an absolute embarrassment. I mean, I DVR the game. I get back at about halftime. I start watching it. And it was embarrassing. It was a travesty. And I'm saddened, and I want to switch my allegiance. But, you know, it's hard to do with college football. But easier to do with college football than it – well, first of all, I don't want to be a bandwagon jumper. I mean, I don't need to jump on somebody else's bandwagon. And secondly, the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I didn't expect them to win that game on Sunday night. I wasn't surprised that they got beat. But it was almost like they didn't even show up. And it saddens me. It saddens me because Jerry Jones is such a moron. Okay. He has no idea that he is the root of all of the problems. It has nothing to do with Jason Garrett or Tony Romo or anybody else on the team. Jerry Jones actually is starting to frustrate me. Most people say they hate the Cowboys because they hate Jerry Jones. Me, I've always given him a fair shake. He made me happy for 3 out of 4 seasons. I mean, I had a great time watching them win those Super Bowls in the 90s. I was a fan in the 70s and the 80s through the Danny White era, the Gary Hogaboom era. But the bottom line is that part of me really wants to switch teams. But the biggest problem I've got, Matt, and I know you've done this recently. You jumped ship from the Cubs after all these years and became a Royals fan. What do I do with all the apparel and all the crap that I have that I've accumulated that I keep getting every year from people? What do I do with it all?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I will advise you this with your football teams. I would advise you to be patient because it can change so quickly in football, especially in the NFL now. It's not like it is in baseball. Baseball, it's like turning a semi around in an alley. That's what the Cubs have.
It's true.
You know, and it just takes too long and you just can't compete in certain levels. But with football, it changes. Parity is so rampant now in the NFL especially. It'll change in a hurry. And Nebraska is always going to get good recruits. It'll turn around for them. As much as I hate to admit it, I'm not exactly a Husker fan.
I know.
But they're going to be good too. So,
you know,
just be patient and hang in there.
I am and I will. I will tell you, but you did not answer the question. The question
the
does
apparel.
Where did the apparel go? What happened?
I'll tell you what I did with it. I could see this coming for a couple of years. So I kind of geared towards it. So I kind of stopped buying things. Mm-hmm. And also, I lost quite a bit of weight, a couple of years ago. So after that, I didn't really buy much stuff, so there really wasn't a whole lot to get rid of, a handful of t-shirts.
Well, I have a theory. First of all, I think I can probably keep the stuff, number one. Number two, my problem here with the NFL is the next best option for me is the Chiefs, and I'm not really sure if they're going in the right direction either. I'm not really sure, you know? I mean, they look like it on paper, but, you know, you're not really sure. And so here's my theory. I mean, I used to be this way, and somehow it stopped. I used to like to just wear shirts or sweatshirts or t-shirts or whatever of just a variety of different teams. I mean, just because. I mean, I would never wear a Yankees jersey these days because I really hate the Yankees. You know, I'd never wear a New York Giants, shirt or something like that, obviously. But I like a variety of teams and things like that. I like the different colors, the different logos, the different makeups and stuff. So I've kind of gotten away from that. I mean, I've got a Blackhawks sweatshirt. I've got some other stuff. And I'm thinking maybe I just need to go in that direction and start telling my family members, look, don't buy me any more Cowboy stuff. I've got enough. Don't buy me any more Husker stuff. I've got enough. Just go ahead and here's some teams that I like maybe get some stuff of. And maybe just to
Red
kind
Wings.
Of. Yeah. Again, no offense, but that's, I mean, look, I can.
There's
root,
a line.
Yeah. I can root for the Dolphins. I can root for the Hawkeyes, but you know I can't root for the Red Wings any more than you can root for the Avalanche. So, you know.
I wouldn't want any stinking Avalanche fans rooting for the Red Wings anyway.
Exactly. So, but you see my point. I kind of just got get some other stuff, just kind of get it in the mix and have people stop buying me, Husker and Cowboy stuff all the time. So we'll see. But
you have to just start asking for gift cards.
Yeah, that's a good idea too. No kidding. Sports in 6, a minor success. Might need a little tweaking.
It.
Yeah, I like it. You were fantastic. It's clear that you've watched some PTI in your life. You were good.
I've watched a few episodes
that was
of it.
Good. Very good. Let's go ahead and take the break. And when we come back, we are going to talk a little bit about a birthday that actually is going on today. And I've got some very interesting facts about that guy who's having a birthday here upon the release of this show. Batman, let's take the break, and we will be right back.
This is the Brad Westmar Show. Now you can kick the smoking habit in just 1 week's time with a powerful new product called Puff Beater.
Puff Beater.
Puff Beater is superior to other products, and here's why. When a person quits smoking, they develop a self-righteous attitude, looking down upon people who still smoke. Puff Beater keeps you from having this obnoxious behavior.
I quit smoking using Puff Beater. I feel great, and I don't harass losers who still smoke.
I saved enough money by quitting smoking that I can now afford to drink a latte anytime I want.
Change your life with all new Puff Beater.
Always read and follow label instructions. Puff Beater recommends if a person who has quit smoking using a different treatment is giving you grief, just tell them, I can't wait to see how fat you get. Puff Beater is not really proven yet, but it hasn't been disproven either.
Kick the smoking habit and do it now without turning into a f***ing prick. Call now for your free video. Puff Beater.
Once you get past the taste, you've got it licked. The Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome back to the Brad Westmar Show, our one-year anniversary with Magic Matthew Wilder and the Batman in the Batcave. And it's a very special birthday today, ladies and gentlemen. Some people don't know this, but today, upon the release of this show, would be Elvis's 77th birthday, Magic. I know, Matt, that you are a fan of Elvis as well.
You bet.
Fan of the King. And 77, if he were still alive, that, and I'll bet, you know what, he'd still be on stage.
You bet he would.
He'd still be wearing the jumpsuits.
Mm-hmm.
He'd still be sweating like a whore in church. he'd still be good. I'm sure he'd still have his voice, for sure. So, King of Rock and Roll, 77 years old today. 10 weird facts for you, Matt, and also you, Todd. Tell me if you knew these things. Some of them are rather interesting. 10 weird facts about Elvis. Before discovering Elvis, manager Colonel Tom Parker's most notable success was Colonel Parker's Dancing Chickens, an act which involved persuading chickens to perform by sticking them on an electric hot plate. Yeah, kid you not.
No way.
Yeah. Fact number two, there are estimated to be over 50,000 people in the world who make a living as Elvis impersonators. In the Islamic State of Mogadishu in Somalia, it is illegal to impersonate Elvis without a beard. Which is weird because, you know, Elvis didn't have a beard, you know, but you got to have a beard if you're Islamic. So
I can understand sideburns.
Yeah, weird. I don't know. I mean, that's. And again, speaking of beards, by the way, and I tweeted this the other night, I have a prediction about Andrew Luck. First of all, did you notice? I didn't know this till this morning when I happened to catch him in the locker room during a little interview. Did you know Andrew Luck talks like this? Andrew Luck.
No, has a really, I've never heard him talk.
Kind of sounds like a blah, 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 blah. For such a smart guy, he sounds like a Forrest Gump, is what he's. It's kind of funny because his voice just does not fit his body. Okay. I mean, it looks like he should have just a normal, you know, a feminine voice like Aaron Rodgers, but instead he's got this this really deep, you know, weird voice that doesn't fit with his body. I mean, he should be a disc jockey. You know, because that's, you know that. I mean, all the radio guys, the guys with the best voices all were about 4'2", you know.
Yeah, right.
But no, Andrew Luck, I have a prediction about him. Within, you know, the next 10 months or so, the neck beard will be taking over America, okay? Because that guy does not, I mean, all of his facial hair is right there under his face. It's like just this big, have you noticed that? I mean,
wouldn't you be a little bit worried that that maybe that would lead him to transform into Kyle Orton?
He's, yeah, exactly.
Yes. The next Kyle Orton.
Yes, because somebody mentioned to me on Twitter, they said, well, you know, Kyle Orton is actually the king of neck beards. And I said, you're right, but Andrew Luck is going to make it a sensation. I mean, that's what's going to happen. I don't understand people in the neck beards. It's, I mean, even Batman has a normal beard, generally. Generally. But anyway, back to Elvis here, weird facts. Despite the millions he made while he was alive, accountants believe that Elvis, if he had lived for another 6 months, he would have been bankrupt. That's how in debt he was and how much money he didn't have. Yeah. The King's favorite snacks included fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches, burnt bacon, lemon meringue pie, and double-decker cheeseburgers. Yeah. Yeah. In the 1970s, his kitchen was manned 24 hours a day and became busiest around 4:30 a.m. As Elvis was usually off his face on barbiturates and tranquilizers, he would often fall unconscious while eating. His aides frequently had to reach into his throat to remove food and stop him from choking to death. Yes.
Oh, glamorous.
Very glamorous, but he loved it. Next to sex and gluttony, one of Elvis's favorite pastimes was visiting the Memphis morgue to check out the corpses.
What?
Yeah, a lot of these things are weird facts about me. Yeah. Strange. Yeah. According to Phyllis Callis from Memphis, Tennessee, Elvis has possessed her TV set. There is also a stain on her patio door in the image of the King. Elvis used to own her house at the beginning of the 1960s, and it backs onto his Graceland estate. A local school for psychics performed an energy scan over the property and confirmed on the Night Watch show that the Presley presence is there. No, he didn't perform it on the Night Watch show, but I know you know all about energy presence and energy scans and things like that there, Todd. In Switzerland, it is illegal to mow your front lawn while you're dressed as Elvis.
Why wouldn't it be?
Exactly. And finally, my favorite one, the first Presbyterian Church of Elvis the Divine was formed in the U.S. in 1988. Okay, among the King's 31 commandments is thou shalt eat 6 meals a day. Yeah. It also mentioned, I was wondering, okay, what are the 31 commandments, right? I want to hear what all 31 commandments are. It's hard to find them anywhere, but this is the information. Yeah, this is the info that I could come up with. Let's see here. It has online services every Sunday, and one of its sermons is titled, You Are Nothing If Not a Hound Dog. Let's see. It says it has 31 commandments, actually a list of 31 foods and personal items that the congregation members must keep in their homes in case Elvis should ever stop by. So that's what the 31 commandments are, Matt. 31 different food items and personal items that you must always have in your house as a member of this church, just in case Elvis ever stops by. It also says Presbyterians are also required to face Las Vegas daily and make a pilgrimage to Graceland at least once in their lives. Yes. Oh, and also, you must commit to fighting the anti-Elvis, Michael Jackson. Yes. And I did get a small list of what some of those 31 items are, guys. Hot dogs, bacon, over-the-counter cold medicine, ground round, cheap cigars, Little Debbie fudge brownies, laxative gum, and of course, peanut butter and bananas.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm a good portion of the way there. We got a lot of those things.
Yeah, there you go. You just have a few more things to do. Make sure you bow down to Las Vegas at least once a day, or face Vegas once a day. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Laxative gum. Fix them up.
I'm sure I've got some. The first Presbyterian Church of Elvis the Divine formed in 1988.
Wow.
Crazy.
We need that whole list.
I know. We do. I wish I could find it.
We have to. We'll have to write them a letter. I bet they just still use letters.
They probably do. Very good point. Oh, man. Well, it was a good show. Good show. Number one of the second year into the Brad Westmar Show. And I don't exactly know where to go from here except to say that I'm looking forward to next week's show, because next week we will talk further with our good friend Todd Sheets and about his abandonment and exactly how it led him into the zombie bloodbath territory and becoming the filmmaker that he is. I mean, here's a good tease. Here's a good tease, I think, Matt. Tell me if you agree. And I think I said this to you while we were watching it. I think that it's pretty clear after watching some of the commentary and behind-the-scenes footage of the making of Zombie Bloodbath, the trilogy, I think it's pretty clear that Todd's real calling, and I say this with, you know, I'm totally honest when I say this, I believe that truly his true calling is making films. I mean, would you agree with that after watching some of that?
Definitely. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, not to say you shouldn't be in radio, not to say you shouldn't be making music, because I love your music, but it's pretty clear to me that that is your first love, and it's pretty clear to me that that is what you do best. Okay, so, and I mean that with I know it's amazing. I know it's amazing, but
it's not backhanded.
I don't know how to take it.
Yeah, it's not backhanded at all.
No, it's not the honest to God truth.
CD for you next week.
Oh, good.
I think you'll like it.
I'm looking forward to hearing that too. Having said that,
Happy New Year.
Stop it. Now, with all those nice things I just said about you, that means we are, but that doesn't mean we're not going to make fun of you a little bit when we talk about zombie bloodbath.
I figure.
Yeah. And also, one more thing. New Year's resolutions, okay? And on the second season of the Brad Westmar Show, I wanted to mention this too. You would think that after being so hard on Todd this past year, you know, that my New Year's resolution, Matt, should probably be trying to take it a little bit easier on Todd, right?
You would think.
Yeah, but I'm going to do just the opposite. This year, I'm going to work him a little bit harder. I'm going to expect more from him. I'm going to yell at him more. I'm going to make him more of a part of the show just because that's the way it really should be. So I hope you're looking forward to that, Todd.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well,
you look in the mirror, Todd. Thank yourself for that one.
Exactly.
God dang it.
We do want to talk about the abandonment next week on the show, though. I mean, tell me.
There's something going on there.
No, I know there's something going on there. We do. We agree with that. Matt and I agree.
Something wrong.
Absolutely.
Something happened. Well, will you mind talking to me about your family life growing up?
Not a problem.
Okay. Because I think we might have to go there, Matt.
It might scare you.
I can't wait. I'm so excited for next week, Harley.
We can't take up the whole show, though. We got to be careful. We don't want to bore people.
No, it's not boring, I promise.
Okay. There was abandonment, wasn't there?
If you ask me too many questions, you might be so surprised at the childhood that I had. It's, yeah.
That, see? There's something there, isn't there, Matt?
There's definitely something there. There's definitely. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. Hey, by the way, do you think Dr. D could get me some Xanax? Is he a real doctor?
Yeah, but he doesn't prescribe Xanax.
All right. Because Matt and I talked about that this weekend, too. I decided it's either pot smoking or Xanax, and I got to find something. So, I don't know. I didn't drink a drop over New Year's, man. Not a drop.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Wow.
Did you?
Good for you.
Did
yeah.
you? See, you're a man of God, and I'm not. So, I got to wrap this up. Magic Matthew Wilder, great to have you along, my friend.
Hey, it's good to be back.
We will talk to you later. We'll let you go so you can go to your playoff fantasy draft thing, whatever you got to do tonight.
Yep. And the nerddom continues.
Very good. And Batman, thank you, of course, as always. We'll talk to you next week. I'm Brad saying good night. Adios, amigos, and happy effing New Year. Bye-bye.